Okay, so welcome to our LCM summer call. We have a few more chevra coming at the end of this week and next week, but Hashem, it's nice to see everyone here. Change of venue. Before we begin, there have been a tremendous amount of resources that have gone into this program, so I just need to quickly express, just a quick karsatov, get onto the recording. It's not enough time to express a proper karsatov, but just to mention some names. First and foremost, the Rosh Yeshiva. This program would not exist without Rabbi Sachs, and he really cares about the chevra. Everyone should just know when I speak to him, he really just wants to make the guys happy over the summer. So thank you to Rabbi Sachs, Rosh Shmulevitz always, of course, Ariel always gets thank yous for everything. Nachi Penn also put hours and hours and hours into this program. He just made a whole video showing me and Dotan. He sent it to Ellie. He walked through the whole Yangtze with Mir, showed us in a video and a voice note where everything is. Like, it was pretty cool. But that's just one example of what Nachi Penn has done for the program, so he also gets a thank you. Of course, Young Israel Woodmere, they have graciously hosted us. They've been very, very warm and nice to us. They're providing us with lunch, so thank you very much, Young Israel Woodmere. And our sponsors, there have been a tremendous amount of money has gone into this program, so thank you so much to all of our sponsors who have supported us. And on a personal note, I just want to thank Rav Dovatan for everything that he's done. Okay, fine. In terms of what we're, also just one aside, we're going to upload the Marm Kumis onto the app. If anyone listening to us remotely wants to see the Marm Kumis, might reference them, so it's going to be on the app also. Fine. So this summer's man, we're going to, Mirz Hashem, be learning through some of the Lamed Tes Malachos. If you look at the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, it gives us our list of Lamed Tes Malachos, and we're just going to start from the beginning of the list and cover as much as we can. The plan is to finish the first five malachos. So if you think about the fact that we are only learning for 4 weeks, I think five malachos in 4 weeks is a pretty significant accomplishment. The way we're going to do is we're going to do all the malachos be'ian, and then Mirz Hashem, at the very end of each malacha, I'm going to bring it down halacha l'maisa. So if you want to get a smicha from me, a smicha's chaver, on the first five malachos, we're going to, Mirz Hashem, cover it quite thoroughly. And we're going to bring down halacha, so you really will be able to impress your shidduchim and all that stuff, at least in the first five malachas. Hopefully they won't ask in the sixth one, you know? I asked the chevra to sit on the side just to... Okay, fine. Now, we're going to start the malachas tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, I cheshb in the weeks, and also just Wednesdays, for now, Wednesdays are going to be an off day, just chazar in the morning, and then some recreation. The gym's going to be open for anyone who wants to... play in the gym. Miles Ratner will. We're sponsoring an NBA basketball. Fine. Okay. Fine. Okay. So let's begin. So today we're gonna have a 1 day introductory shiur, and then Mirz Hashem tomorrow we're gonna jump into our first malacha. So let's start from the very beginning. That clock is so not visible from here. Can anyone else see that clock? Can you? I have a phone. Thanks to tech. It's not Shabbos. Technology here. But, okay. So let's start from the very beginning. When we talk about what a person can and cannot do on Shabbos, there are two basic mitzvos d'oraisa that need to be considered. Mitzvah number one is the mitzvah lo sa'aseh of lo sa'aseh. There's the just a small, we have an audience in the back. So let's just, one more time. Mitzvah number one. I remember one time there was an in Shabbos, and Rabbi Fuller Shmulevitz was speaking on the fourth floor, in, you know, where everyone sits for the Shabbos Suda. And behind the glass, while he was speaking, one of the kids was running with a huge, some kind of bat, chasing another kid. You can imagine trying to pay attention to the drasha and in the background to see, like, you know, a rodef and a nirdef. It was a lot of fun. Okay, fine. Okay, so let's start one last time. So when we talk about the mitzvahs that a person can and cannot do on Shabbos, there are two basic mitzvahs d'oraisa that need to be considered. Mitzvah number one is the mitzvahs lo sa'aseh of lo sa'aseh chol malacha. There's an issur d'oraisa to do malacha on Shabbos. This is in Parshas Yisro, in Parshas Vezchanan, the fourth commandment. You know, you can't do malacha on Shabbos. Now, as to what exactly is malacha, and as to what exactly the parameters of this mitzvah lo sa'aseh is what we're going to be learning about the whole summer in Mirz Hashem. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be trying to figure out what does malacha mean. But there's a second mitzvah on Shabbos, which is not nearly as well known, and that's going to be the topic of today's introductory shir. If you saw the Rambam now from the Marmakomos, it's the Rambam in Mitzvah Saasei Kuf Nun Dalid, and all the Moni HaMitzvahs bring down a second mitzvah deraisa on Shabbos, which is a mitzvah Saasei of Tishbos. Torah says two times in Sefer Shmos, Uvayom HaShvi'i Tishbos. On the seventh day, desist from activity. This is in Mishpatim and Kisizei. Uvayom HaShvi'i Tishbos. You should desist from activity. And the Rishonim understood that this is actually teaching a mitzvah deraisa. And the big question we're going to ask ourselves today is, what is included in the mitzvah of Tishbos? What types of activities do we need to refrain from in order to fulfill this mitzvah saseh? So that's the question we're going to deal with today. Fine. So we begin with the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. The very first Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, gives us our starting insight into the mitzvah of Tishbos. What types of activities are prohibited based on this mitzvah? The Rambam tells us that if a person does one of the Lamatas Melachos on Shabbos, aside from the fact that this violates the Lo Saaseh, the fourth commandment, it also is Mevatel the Aseh of Tishbos. So the Rambam is now giving us our first insight into the mitzvah of Tishbos. What types of activities are prohibited by the Aseh of Tishbos? Malacha. Certainly doing one of the Lamatas Melachos is going to be Mevatel, the mitzvah Saaseh of Tishbos. That's our starting insight based on the Rambam, and this is the Shita of Rav Mefarshim, that certainly doing malacha itself is included in the Aseh of Tishbos. But the real question we're going to ask ourselves is, and that's the real sugya, is, does Tishbos go beyond the Lamatas Malachos? Does it prohibit other types of activities, or perhaps it's restricted to the Lamatas Malachos? That's the real shayla we're going to ask ourselves. So in order to analyze this, we're going to move over to the Gemara in Yevamos on Heyam and Beis, Vav and Aleph, from the Marmakomos, and we're going to learn it up with Tosis and the Rashba, and we're going to have a Machlokas Rishonim on this issue of whether Tishbos goes beyond the Lamatas Malachos. So not the Bor Gavriel and the Yair, you guys hit this on the head, but we'll just speak out your Cheshbonos in the morning. Fine. So let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara there, on Heyam Aveiz, as we all saw, brings a Braisa, which tells us the following din. It brings up a case where a parent instructs a child to violate the Shabbos. And as we saw from the continuation of the Gemara has a Havamina to establish the case in the Braisa as being where the parent tells the child to do the Isser of Mechamer. What's Mechamer? So as many of us saw this morning, Mechamer is an Isser to cause an animal to do Malacha on Shabbos. Aside from the fact that we ourselves can't do one of the Lamatas Malachos, Mechamer is another Isser, a mitzvah slo asase, to cause an animal to do Malacha on Shabbos. If you load up an animal, and you cause it, you prod it along to carry in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, doing an act of Hutzah. So that's an Isser of Mechamer. You're not carrying, it's carrying, but you're causing it to do a Malacha. That's the Isser of Mechamer. Now Mechamer is not one of the Malachos. You don't get curries for it. It's not as severe. But it's a mitzvah Lo Saaseh. You learned that from the continuation of the Pasuk. Lo Saaseh HaMalacha Behemtecha. Aside from you, your animal can't do Malacha. When you cause your animal to do Malacha, it's not curries, it's not one of the Lamatas Malachos, but it's also a mitzvah slo asaseh. So that's the Isser of Mechamer. So the Gemara brings up a case where a parent instructs the child to be Mechamer on Shabbos. The father tells his son, I want you to load up this animal and cause it to walk in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim carrying a load. Cause it to carry something in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Braisa, as understood by the Gemara in this stage, tells us that the child should not listen to the parent. This is special because there's a kasav. The child should not listen to the parent. He should not violate the Isser of Mechamer. So that's the Braisa based on this stage of the Gemara. There's a lot of complications in that Gemara. We're just focusing on one simple stage. The Braisa at this stage tells us that the child should not listen to the parent. He should not do the Isser of Mechamer. Comes along the Gemara there on Vav and Aleph, and it raises the question, why should the child not listen to the parent? What happened to the classic principle of Aseh Docha Lo Saaseh? We know that there's a rule, that if there's a conflict between a mitzvah saaseh on the one hand and a mitzvah lo saaseh on the other hand, where a person is commanded to do a mitzvah saaseh, but if he does the mitzvah saaseh, he's going to violate a lo saaseh, we say under appropriate conditions, Aseh Docha Lo Saaseh, that the Aseh wins out, and don't worry about the lo saaseh, do the mitzvah saaseh, and we'll... We don't care that you're going to violate the lo saaseh. Well, asks the Gemara, in this situation, when the parent tells the kid to be mechamer, that's exactly what you have. As soon as the parent issues that instruction to the child, that generates the mitzvah saseh of kibud av ve'em. Kibud av requires the kid to listen to the parent and to carry out his wishes. But, of course, if he does this mitzvah saseh, he's going to violate a lo saseh of mechamer. And so we have a classic conflict between a mitzvah saseh on the one hand, a lo saseh on the other hand, and we should say aseh docha, lo saseh. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. Why would the child not listen to the parent? Let's say aseh docha, lo saseh. So I didn't put this on the Gemara, but the Gemara basically goes on to just accept the premise of the question. You're right, that's not the case in the Braisa, because we should say aseh docha, lo saseh in this situation. So the bottom line is what comes out of the Gemara in Yevamos. I know there's a lot of shaka v'taria, it was a little bit complicated. The bottom line, what we need from the Gemara in Yevamos is one simple halacha, that if a parent tells a child to be mechamer on Shabbos, the Gemara's conclusion is, in principle, we should say aseh docha lo saseh. In principle, if a parent tells the child to do malacha on Shabbos, we should say that the aseh of kibud av overrides the lo saseh of mechamer. That's the bottom line point that we need from this piece of Gemara Nivamos. Any questions? Are we good? Okay, fine. Comes along the Rishonim, and the Rishonim were bothered by a problem with this Gemara. The Rishonim were bothered that how is this Gemara telling me that this is a classic case of Aseh Docha Lo Saseh, where the Aseh of Kibud Av should override the Surim of Mechamer, when it is true that a mitzvah Saseh can override a single opposing mitzvah, but the rule also is that a mitzvah Saseh cannot override two opposing mitzvahs. We don't say that a mitzvah Saseh can override two conflicting mitzvahs. Ask the Rishonim, when the child is mechamer on Shabbos, when the kid causes an animal to do malacha, he's going to violate two mitzvot. What are the two mitzvot that he should violate in causing this animal to carry in the shesarabim? Mitzvah number one is the lo saseh of behemticha. You can't cause an animal to do malacha. That's one mitzvah he's going to violate. But he's going to violate a second mitzvah as well, and that is the mitzvah saseh of tishbos. The mitzvah of tishbos, as we're learning today, is a mitzvah saseh on Shabbos, that person has to rest on Shabbos, desist from doing certain activities on Shabbos. Echter Rishon, if you cause an animal to do malacha, you're going to violate tishbos. And so there are two mitzvahs that are going to be violated in being mechamer. So in this situation, we shouldn't apply the principle of aseh docha lo saseh. When the parent tells the kid to be mechamer, yes, we have the mitzvah saseh of kibud av, telling the kid to listen to the parent. But on the other hand, if the kid is going to cause his animal to do malacha, he's going to violate two mitzvos, the lo saseh of being mechamer and the aseh of tishbos. And we don't say that an aseh can override two mitzvos. So why did the Gemara want to apply the principle of aseh docha lo saseh? This isn't a classic case of one mitzvah going up against one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah versus two mitzvos. Okay. So we're going to have two basic approaches in Rishonim for how to deal with this issue. Approach number one is the shita of Tosfos. Approach number two is the shita of the Rashba in the name of his Rebbe, who is actually Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ritva quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was the Rebbe of the Rashba. So the second approach will be the approach of Rabbeinu Yonah. So let's start with approach number one. The first approach is Tosfos' approach. Tosfos says like this, that you're right. In this situation, in principle, when the kid is mechamer on Shabbos, he's going to violate two mitzvos, the alo saseh of mechamer and the naseh of tishbos. He's going to violate two mitzvos. But nonetheless, the Gemara still wanted to apply the principle of aseh docha lo saseh. Let's let kibud av override two mitzvos. How is kibud av going to override two mitzvos? We don't typically say that one aseh can override two mitzvos. So Tosfos says it's because of the supreme importance of the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em. Kibud av ve'em is not just a standard regular mitzvah. Kibud av ve'em is a uniquely special mitzvah, because the Torah compares the kavod a person has to give to his parent to the kavod you have to give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a great starting drasha for a summer call, right? You have to be mechaber your parents. The Torah compares the kavod a person has to give to his parents to the kavod that a person has to give to the Rabbono Shel Olam. And this teaches us that kibud av is not just a regular mitzvah. A person has to go all out. A person has to go above and beyond in performing the aseh of kibud av ve'em. And so Tosfos says, in this situation, when kibud av, the mitzvah of kibud av, is going up against two opposing mitzvos, we treat it as if there's no mitzvah of tishbos. Tishbos, yes, it's a mitzvah. In the face of such an important mitzvah saseh, we ignore the mitzvah of tishbos. We treat it as a regular aseh versus a lo saseh. We have a regular lo saseh of mechamer. We have an aseh of kibud av, one versus the other. Ase dohalo sase. Aye, there's also tishbos. Yes, tishbos is a mitzvah, but in the face of kibud av, we ignore tishbos. It's one versus one. Ase dohalo sase. So that is approach number one. Shitas hatosfos, accepting the premise of the question, it is technically one versus two, but kibud av is so supremely important that it can even override two mitzvahs. Fine. So that's approach number one. Ellie.
Once we're saying that kibud av is so chashuv, I guess, as a mitzvah, so why can we also say that when you want it to be dokha, a los association with karis, to also treat it like a regular.
Okay, I think Rishonim asked that question. I can't answer that on the spot because I'm trying my best to avoid the Shaka Vatara of Yavamos just because it's a very confusing Gemara, but it's an excellent question. I think Rishonim asked that question. Yeah.
Right now we're just in the Havamina, right? Meaning, right at this point of the Gemara, if we would say this, why would we say it?
Yeah, so we are in the Havamina of the Gemara, but as I reiterate, I really want to stay as far away from that, the Shaka Vatara. I don't want to highlight the different stages of the Gemara. For our purposes, the Gemara wanted to apply Ase Dochalos Ase.
Okay,
and it's really the maskan in a certain sense. In principle, the maskan of the Gemara in Yavamos is we say Ase Dochalos Ase of Kibud Av versus Mechamer. That's the maskan of the Gemara. It's maskan of the Gemara. In principle, there's a little bit more behind the scenes, but in principle, the maskan of the Gemara is that. That's it. So that was approach number one, Shitas HaTosfos, that it's one versus two, but Kibud Av is the man. Fine. Approach number two is the approach now of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says a different answer. The Rashba in the name of his Rebbe being Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says like this, that the reason the Gemara wanted to treat this as a typical case of Aseh Doch Halos Aseh, where the Aseh of Kibud Av is only going up against a single opposing mitzvah, is because this is a classic case of Aseh Doch Halos Aseh. Kibud Av is only going up against a single opposing mitzvah. When the child is Mechamer on Shabbos, yes, it violates a lo sasei. There's a lo sasei of behemtecha. Your animal can't do malacha. But the asei of tishbos doesn't apply. The mitzvah sasei of tishbos does not prohibit being mechamer on Shabbos. Tishbos doesn't apply in this case because tishbos is limited to the lametes malachos. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, tishbos only prohibits doing the lametes malachos. It does not prohibit other types of activities. So being mechamer on Shabbos only violates a lo sasei. It doesn't violate any mitzvah sasei. And so this is the classic case where one asei is going up against one lo sasei. You have kibud av, you have machamer, a single lo sasei, where of course we apply the principle of asei docha lo sasei. So that is approach number two, the shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, that this is a classic case of asei docha lo sasei because tishbos does not apply in this situation. It doesn't go beyond the lametes malachos. And this is really where we're headed. We're heading towards this Rabbeinu Yonah because now we're getting our insight into the mitzvah of tishbos. We started out, we're trying to ask the question, does tishbos go beyond the lametes malachos? We now see from Rabbeinu Yonah, he's saying it does not. Tishbos is limited to the 39 malachos, borer, bishul, etc., nothing else, and so it doesn't apply to this situation of mechamer. Now, swinging it back to Tosfos, what's the diak we're going to make in Tosfos? Tosfos is giving a different answer to this question. So what do we see from Tosfos about tishbos? Anyone? Right. We see from Tosos that Mechamer is included in Tishbos or Shabbason, despite the fact that Mechamer is not one of the Lametes Malachos. Apparently, Tishbos goes beyond the Lametes Malachos. So we now have Machlokas Rishonim on the scope of the mitzvah of Tishbos. Is Tishbos limited to the Lametes Malachos, like Rabbeinu Yonah holds, or does it go beyond the Lametes Malachos, like Tosfos holds? So with that, we've included the basic facts for today's Sugya. I'm going to stop for a second to take questions. We'll do a quick chazar just because it is the first day. And then we're going to start the conceptual analysis of this sugya. Natanel, you had a question?
Specifically by Rabbi Yochamer, Tosfos would hold as two Yisrim and Rashi would hold as only one.
Yes, 100%. Fine, so let's just quickly chazar over and then I'll stop for five more seconds to take questions and then we'll start the conceptual analysis. So we pointed out we have two mitzvahs on Shabbos after all the theatrics in the background. We have two mitzvahs on Shabbos, the Lo Sasei of Lo Sasei Chumalacha, the Asi of Tishbos. Our goal today is to figure out what are the parameters of this mitzvah Asi of Tishbos. So we started out by pointing out from the Rambam, certainly the Lametes Malachos are included in the Asi of Tishbos. That's the Shita of Rav Shonim. And the question we're really asking ourselves is, does it go beyond the Lametes Malachos? So we went over to the Gemara Yavamos, where the Gemara, all we want for the Gemara Yavamos is that we say Asi do Chalos Asai when a parent tells a kid to be Mechamer. And the question the Rav Shonim were asking was, why are you saying Asi do Chalos Asai? It's an Asi of Kibud Av against two mitzvos, Lochora. Mechamer is a Lo Sasei, and it's also an Asi of Tishbos. So we had two approaches, Tosis is saying that you're right. Mechamer is included in Tishbos. There are two mitzvos involved in being mechamer, but Kibbut Av is so important it overrides two opposing mitzvos. Whereas the second approach is the approach of the Rabbeinu Yonah, that actually Tishbos does not go beyond the Lamed Tes Melachos. It's limited to the Lamed Tes Melachos. And so this is a classic case of Kibbut Av versus a single opposing Lo Sasei, where we say Aseh Docha Lo Sasei. And what we're coming out with is a machlokas Rishonim now. Does Tishbos go beyond the Lamed Tes Melachos like Tosis holds, or is it limited to the Lamed Tes Melachos like Rabbeinu Yonah? Any last thing, questions? Yeah, please.
Is that Diakintosis arguable, or that's...
Is that Diakintosis arguable? So I just want to point out, like, Real made it this morning. So if you're arguing on that, you're arguing on him. But I'll show you. Is that Diakintosis arguable? It's not arguable, because Tosfos is assuming that Tishbos applies to being a Mechamer. Otherwise, why does he have to emphasize the importance of Kibbut Av? Kibbut Av could be a regular mitzvah, but nonetheless, it's one versus one. Why does Tosfos have to tell us that Kibbut Av is so important? The reason he has to say it's so important is because it's really one versus two. Why is it one versus two? Because Tishbos applies to being Mechamer, despite the fact that Mechamer is not one of the Lamed Tes Melachos, but Tishbos applies in this situation. Yeah, Hananya.
Once Kibbut Av comes into play, though, is there still an opinion of Tishbos there, though?
Okay, good question. So Tosfos is saying no. He's saying that because Kibbut Av is so important, we ignore Tishbos. So in that special situation, there's no... It's as if Tishbos doesn't exist. Good question. Ellie.
Rabbi was saying that from the Rambam we don't see which way he holds about Tishbos.
I didn't say that. Do you want to make a diak?
I was wondering from the Sefer Mitzvos.
Go ahead. What's your diak?
It sounds like from the Sefer Mitzvos, and the fact that he says Shabbos includes Be'emteinu, it sounds like it goes beyond the Rambam as well.
Okay, fine. So that's an excellent diak. That's a beautiful diak. The Achorim discuss it. There's a machlok Zachorim had learned the Rambam Shita. So I don't want to confuse things. But fantastic diak. Very good. Okay. Fine. So let's start a little conceptual analysis. It's not a supremely deep sugya, but just to get the machine rolling a little bit in our minds. So we'll just do a little bit. So the question we're going to try to do is just develop a little bit of conceptual basis now for both of these approaches. The Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, that Tishbos is limited to the Lamed Tes Melachos, and the Shita of Tosfos, that it goes beyond the Lamed Tes Melachos. What are they arguing about on a conceptual level? So in order to analyze this machlokas, we now need to go into an understanding of the role of the mitzvah of Tishbos. We have our two mitzvahs. We have the Lo Sasei, don't do malacha on Shabbos, and this new mitzvah of Tishbos, and I say, you know, rest. Don't do activity on Shabbos. And we now have to ask ourselves, is what was the purpose of the establishment of Tishbos? What's the role of the mitzvah to say of Tishbos in contrast to the Isra Malacha? The Torah already said, don't do Malacha on Shabbos. What was the role of the Asiyah Tishbos as a second mitzvah set up by the Torah? So we're going to develop a little bit of a Hakira. That's the first day, so I'm going to try and do it a little bit slower. Two different ways of understanding the role of Tishbos, which is going to be this Machlokas Tinu Ben Yonah versus Tosfos. So let's start with the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm going to set it up. Let's see if someone can chop the lumnus here. It's not a supremely deep lumnus. But let me just set it up and see if I'm going to just, you know, throw the ball in the hoop, I guess. Ben Yonah Shita is that Tishbos is limited to the Lamed Tes Melachos. It doesn't apply to any other activities. So on a conceptual level, what is he telling us about the mitzvah of Tishbos? What is the role of Tishbos in relationship to the Isra Malacha according to Ben Yonah? Anyone, how do you say this in Lamedisha terms, what the role of Tishbos is, if it's not answering anything else except for Malacha? First day.
It's almost adding on to the Hashivas of Shabbos.
100%. Right, good.
Like, not only is there like an Isser Lav that you can't do Malacha, but you're adding on an Asay that you also have to abstain from that.
100%. So, in other words, it's to reinforce. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the role of the Asay of Tishbos is to reinforce the Lo Sasei. That the Torah set down this Lo Sasei, don't do Malacha on Shabbos. But this is one of the basic tenets of Yiddishkeit, one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, so to speak. So the Torah didn't want to leave it at a mere mitzvah, Lo Sasei. It wanted to up the ante, and so it reinforced the Lo Sasei by adding another mitzvah Sasei. That's the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. So that's why, by definition, it's limited to Lamed Tes Melachos, because its sole role, the role of the mitzvah is to just reinforce, to add more chomer to doing Malacha and Shabbos. So that's what Max said. I'm just saying it in a little bit there in Nusach. What's the role of Tishbos according to Rabbeinu Yonah? So let's move over now to the sheath of Tosvos. Tosvos is saying that Tishbos goes beyond the Lamtes Malachos. It's not limited to the 39 Malachos. It asks other things as well. So clearly that the sole role of Tishbos can't just be to add more Chomer to doing Malacha, because it's asking things that aren't Malacha. So what's the role of the mitzvah of Tishbos according to Tosvos? So would anyone want to suggest, according to Tosvos, what's the purpose of the mitzvah of Tishbos? It's not just reinforcing, it's not just adding more Chomer, because it's asking other things as well. So what's the nature of this establishment, you know, the establishment of this mitzvah according to Tosvos?
What's the right answer in Shabbos as a whole?
Okay, so you are correct. Let me just, there are different possibilities. I'm going to take what you said, but I'm just going to spin it a little bit. It's based on, we're going to use the Ramban. This is where the Ramban is going to come into the analysis. The Ramban, in the last two Mar Makomos, gave us a different vision of the role of Tishbos. He's talking about Shabboson, which is the Tishbos for Yom Tov. Tishbos is the Tishbos for Shabbos, but they're parallel mitzvos. And the Ramban gives us a different vision of the role of Tishbos, which we're going to use for Tosvos. The Ramban says like this. He says that when the Torah set up the Isra Malacha on Shabbos, so there was a reason why the Torah set up the Isra Malacha on Shabbos, why you shouldn't do the Lamtes Malachos. The Torah wanted to set off Shabbos from the rest of the week. Shabbos is supposed to be a day of rest, supposed to be a day where we're able to focus on more spiritual matters. And so the Torah set up this Isra of don't do Malacha on Shabbos. But after all is said and done, as wide-reaching as the Lamtes Malachos are, and it answers many, many different activities, just open Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, you'll see four volumes of what you can't do because of these Lamtes Malachos. At the end of the day, it doesn't cover everything. The Lamtes Malachos are not going to cover everything. And a person can, you know, find loopholes and lose the whole spirit of the day. A person can schlep Svarim from here and upstairs the whole entire day, up and down, up and down, and he hasn't done one Malacha in Shabbos. There's an Erev, winter Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You're not doing anything wrong. Yet it kills the whole spirit of the day. Says the Ramban, that was the purpose of Tishbos. Tishbos wasn't meant to reinforce the Isra Malacha. It was meant to complement the Isra Malacha, to work together with the Isra Malacha to set off Shabbos as a day that's different than the rest of the week, as a day that's devoted to Kedusha and not devoted to certain mundane activities. So that's a second way of looking at the role of Tishbos, not to reinforce, to add more Chomer, is to complement the Isra Malacha, to fill in the gaps, to set off Shabbos from the rest of the week. That's the Ramban's explanation of Tishbos. Working with that Yesod, so that will now explain the Sheath of Tosfos. Tosfos will be holding that Tishbos was meant to complement the Isra Malacha, to fill in the gaps of other types of activities, and that's why Tishbos can now apply to Mechamer. When he calls an animal to do Malacha, it's not one of the Lamtes Malachos, but it still fits under Tishbos because Tishbos fills in the gaps. All these activities that go against the spirit of the day, that technically is a loophole. Okay, I didn't do it. My animal did it, but it's still, clearly you're causing an animal to do Malacha, it goes against the spirit of the day, that's included in the Asay of Tishbos. So that was part two of today's shir. We gave a conceptual analysis, analysis now of this machlokes. We have a basic hakira, two ways of looking at the role of Tishbos. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, Tishbos was set up to reinforce the Isra Malacha, to add more severity, and that's why it only applies to Lamtes Malachos and nothing else. According to Tosfos, Tishbos is meant to complement this Malacha to fill in the gaps and make sure that Shabbos is set off from the rest of the week. Any questions? We good? Yeah, Miles. No, good? Fine. Okay, fine. So let's move on to part three. I'll discuss one or two nafkaminas. When do we start? 11:20? Yeah? Okay, fine. Fine. So I guess we'll try to go 12:05. Fine. So let's discuss two nafkaminas in this machlokas, Tosfos versus Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, we have this machlokas, the Tishbos go beyond the Lamtes Malachos like Tosfos. Is it limited to the Lamtes Malachos like Rabbeinu Yonah? Fine. So nafkamina number one is like this. It came out of the Gemara Nivamos again. There's one nekuda that comes out of the Gemara Nivamos. All the rest of the Shach Vataria will leave for when Yeshiva decides to do Yivamos, if Rabbi Sachs convinces the Rosh Malavitz. Until then, there's this one nekuda that comes out of the Gemara Nivamos, which is that we say, Aseh do chalos asai, kibidav versus mechamer. Maskanas of Gemara, in principle, kibidav beats out against mechamer. Either like Tosfos, because although it's one versus two, the Kibbutz is so important. Or like Rabbeinu Yonah, that's one versus one, that Mechamer is just one los asay, and so it's an asay versus a los asay. But either way, the bottom line of the Gemara is, we say asay doch los asay by Kibbutz versus Mechamer. The question becomes, what if we change the mitzvah asay? What if there's going to be a conflict between a different mitzvah saseh and the lav of mechamer? What would be an example of a different mitzvah saseh that can conflict with the lav of a mechamer? So let's give an example that's inspired by the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Chav Dalet. It's not exactly his case, but it's inspired by Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Chav Dalet in Oz Aleph. Let's say we have a conflict between shofar and mechamer. See, we're used to the fact that we do not blow shofar on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. It comes from a Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tesam Beis, that we don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But there's one special circumstance where you actually do blow shofar on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. Anyone here have any ideas? Kolios here? What's the one special case where you blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah?
In the Mikdash.
Good. So in the Mikdash, now that there is no Mikdash, when do you blow?
Then you blow in Beis Din.
Yes, excellent. So Max hit the nail on the head. In Beis Din. If there's a Beis Din, you blow shofar on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. The Rush in Rosh Hashanah, Dalet Aleph, brings down that the Rif blew shofar in Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. The Rif was the Gadol Ador, and Hamzi Rashi lived at the same time, but they didn't know each other. And the Rif was certainly the Gadol Ador for that part of the globe. And the Rif, being the Muflug Shabbadoro, felt that his yeshiva had the status of a Beis Din. They blew shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So with that in mind, let's say that we're in the yeshiva of the Rif, and we're going to be blowing shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. But let's say that the only way of blowing shofar is by violating the Isser of Mechamer. Let's say the shofar is in some place, and the only way to transport the shofar is by having an animal carry it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. So we now have a conflict between the mitzvah of shofar on the one hand, the mitzvah saseh of shofar on the one hand, versus the lav, the Isserim of Mechamer, on the other hand. You're causing an animal to do malacha, to get the shofar. Do we say Aseh Dochalos Aseh in this situation? So the Minchas Chinuch there in Mitzvah Chav Dalet Os Aleph indicates that this is going to be our first nafkamina between Tosas versus Rabbeinu Yonah. Can anyone see why this issue, whether you'd say Aseh Dochalos Aseh with shofar versus Nechamer as opposed to Kibbutz, would depend on Tosas versus Rabbeinu Yonah? Excellent, excellent. Shalom hit the nail on the head. 100%. See, so let's go through the two shitas again. Shita one was the shita of Tosos. According to Tosos, why do we say Asi Dechalos Asi when it comes to Kibbutz Av versus Mechamer? Tosos had said, Hamsabi, being Mechamer on Shabbos violates two mitzvos. When you cause an animal to do malacha, you're going to violate a los asi, the Isser of Mechamer, and you're also Mevatel and Asi of Tishbos. Tishbos goes beyond the malachos. So why is Kibbutz Av, why is a single mitzvah overriding two mitzvos? Based on a special component of Kibbutz Av. Kibbutz Av is so important, it's so special, that one mitzvah can override two mitzvahs, so to speak. That we knock out Tishbos, and it's like one versus one, and therefore we say Aseh Dochalos Aseh. So that's all true when it comes to Kibbutz Av, which is such a special mitzvah. But when we move over to another mitzvah like Shofar, which is certainly important, but doesn't have that same chashivas, well then we're back to a classic case of one versus two. You have shofar on the one hand, two opposing mitzvahs on the other hand. If you're mechamer, you're going to violate a los aseh and an aseh. One versus two, we do not say aseh doch los aseh. So according to Tosos, we would not let you get the shofar for the Rif's yeshiva. This year, the Rif's going to have to be like us in Landers. We don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah because the aseh is not going to override the two yisurim involved of in mechamer. That's according to Tosos. What would Rabbeinu Yonah say in this situation? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, when we have the Aseh of Shofar going up against Mechamer, so what's the Halacha going to be? So in this situation, it's one versus one. What was the whole reason why we say Kibbutz Av beats Mechamer according to Rabbeinu Yonah? Because when you cause an animal to do Malacha, there's only one mitzvah involved. You're only going to violate a Los Aseh. You're not violating the Aseh. Tishbos is limited to the Lamates Malachos. It doesn't go beyond the Lamates Malachos. So when you have Kibbutz Av versus Mechamer, one versus one, of course you say Aseh Docha, Lo Saseh. Well, if that's the reason why Kibbutz Av overrides Mechamer, because it's just one versus one, then even if you change the Aseh around, we'll say the same thing. Even if there's a stira, a conflict between Shofar and Mechamer, once again, we should say, Aseh Docha, Lo Saseh. Shofar is one mitzvah. Getting the being Mechamer is a Lo Saseh. One versus one, we should say, Aseh Docha, Lo Saseh. So that is nafkamina number one in this machlokes. The question is, if we change up the aseh from Kibbutz Av to a different mitzvah aseh like shofar, would we say aseh docha lo aseh? Okay, any questions? We good? Okay, fine. So let's do one last nafkamina, and then we'll call it a day, I guess, and we'll figure out when lunch is coming. Maybe we'll play ball today also. Okay, fine. Or maybe we'll play tag, you know? Like, why is it only for kids? I don't know. You know? Okay, so nafkamina number two also comes from Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Chavdal. This is an Osi Gimel. This begins with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Nun Ches Amabez teaches the following halacha. There's a mitzvah, Goyim have a mitzvah not to keep a day of Shabbos. We're used to the fact that there are seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Goyim have seven mitzvahs. The truth is that they actually have eight mitzvahs. There's an eighth mitzvah b'nei Noach. A Goy cannot keep a day of Shabbos. Rish Lakish says that if a Goy keeps a day of Shabbos, he's chayv misa. Goy sheshovas chayv misa. He's violating his mitzvah to not keep a day of rest, and so he's chayv misa. Rabbi Kiva Eger actually brings down, it's interesting, he brings down that in his day, so it was normal that when a goy is in the process of converting, you know, he slowly eases into the kiyum of mitzvot just to get used to what it means to be a yid. And Rabbi Kiva Eger commented that this beautiful practice turns into a terrible avera, because if the goy is going to keep Shabbos in total before he converts, he's violating this mitzvah of this eighth mitzvah ben Enoch, and he'll be chayv misa, goy sheshovas, Chayv Misa, that's the halacha there in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara actually asked the question, so why do we call it Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, if there are really eight Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? And the Gemara gives a technical answer. But there really are eight Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. It's a good trivia question if you want to, this at the Shabbos table. There are eight Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, they're not seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Fine, so that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and he wants to know the following question. This is like a classic Minchas Chinuch question. He wants to know like this. Let's say you have a goy that refrains from performing any of the lam tes malachas. He observes the entire Isra malacha. He doesn't do borer. He doesn't do bishul. Nothing. He keeps the entire, he refrains from doing any of the lam tes malachos, but he's mechamer on Shabbos. He takes his animal and he causes his animal to do malacha on Shabbos. So the Menuchas Chinuch wants to know, will this goy be chayv misa or not? He himself didn't do malacha. He kept everything perfectly. The entire losaseh malacha he did to a T, but he caused an animal to do malacha. Will this goy be chayv misa? So that's the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. So anyone want to chap where the Minchas Chinuch is headed, how he wants to make this a nafkamina in Tosas versus Rabbeinu Yonah? This is a little bit of a hard one here. But he wants to make this tully on Tosas versus Rabbeinu Yonah, whether the goy will be chayv misa when he's mechamer on Shabbos, but he kept everything else. He kept all the lam tes malachos, but if the animal did malacha, is this goy going to get, you know, killed? We don't actually kill him. Ram says we don't actually kill him. But in principle, he's chayv misa. You want
to
go for it?
So according to Tosas, he should be chayv misa now.
Chayv misa?
I'm saying, why not?
Why?
Because I'm saying, according to Tosas, there's a din of tishbos.
So according to Tosas, what comes out according to Tosas? When this goy does mechamer, what's he doing?
He's over.
He's violating tishbos.
He's violating
tishbos. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for a goy? It's a good thing. It's a good thing, right? Because if he's violating tishbos, he's not resting. He's not keeping a day of rest. So according to Tosas, it's a good thing. Yeah, it doesn't say there's a chapter. I'm gonna start from the beginning, but at least you have the cheshbon. So let me just speak it out from the beginning.
There would never be a case where a goy would be chayv misa.
Would be chayv misa?
Because if he's doing a malacha, then he's over tishbos.
100%. Well,
if he's not doing a malacha, whatever it is, Tishbos would come in to, like,
100%. So what if he's not over Tishbos either? What if he keeps all the lam tes malachos, and he also doesn't cause an animal to do malacha? He sits in bed all day long, and he's just he's chilling. I'm gonna speak out the nafkamina properly, but let me speak it out, and then we'll stop for the questions. So just to start from the beginning, so you have the cheshbon. Let me just speak out the Minchas Chinuch cheshbon. So he says like this. Again, so in this case, the guy kept all lam tes malachos, so he did not violate the lo saseh of lo saseh chomalacha. So right now, it's not looking so good for this guy. He kept the entire lo saseh, which means he's almost kept the day of rest. If he kept the day of rest, that's a bad thing. That means he's chayv misa. But there's one saving consideration, one redeeming factor, and that is that maybe he violated tishbos. If we can show that he violated tishbos, that means he didn't keep a day of rest. Although he did a partial day of rest, but he did not keep a full day of rest, which is a good thing, then he's not going to be chayv misa. So it comes out like this. Did he violate tishbos, or did he also observe the mitzvah of tishbos? So according to Tosfos, as Yosef started pointing out, when the goy is mechamer, he's violating tishbos. He's not keeping the mitzvah of tishbos, which means that although he kept half of a day of rest, he didn't keep a full day of rest. He did not observe the tishbos. He violated tishbos. He worked on Shabbos in a certain way, so he's not chayiv misa. So according to Tosfos, he's not going to be chayiv misa. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Yonah, when this goy keeps all the lamtes malachos, he just does mechamer, he kept a total day of rest. He did not violate the los asay, or los asa chumlacha. He didn't violate the asay of tishbos. He did a technical side iser of mechamer. It's also on Shabbos, but that's not a form of malacha. Mechamer is a separate iser on Shabbos. You know, there are a lot of iserim out there. There's klayim and basar b'chalav and a lot of things. Mechamer is a technical iser. But he kept a day of rest. He kept all the mitzvahs of shvisa on Shabbos, the los asay, the asay, and so therefore, according to Ben Yonah, the goy will be chayv misa in this situation. Any last questions before we adjourn? Yeah, Yochananya.
Is there a din of
kibud avim
by a goy?
I'm not aware of one. I don't think it's one of the eight mitzvahs. But it's certainly recommended. yeah.
Isn't there still the
los asay? Okay, good. So Eli chapted. I tried doing this quickly, but you're right. There is a los asay of mechamer. Eli's asking the following question. Listen, it's true that the goy kept the los asay of los asay chumlach. He kept the asay of tishbos, but he violated the isur of mechamer. So let that save him from misa. That's Eli's question. So the answer is mechamer in and for itself is not a mitzvah of shvisa. It's not called working on Shabbos. The two mitzvahs of shvisa, work on Shabbos, are the los asay. Fourth commandment, don't do malach on Shabbos, and the asay of tishbos. Those are the mitzvahs that have to do with resting on Shabbos. But there are a lot of other mitzvahs on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of tchumen. You can't walk beyond 2,000 amos, let's say. If a goy would do that, that's not going to save him from misa. Because once again, mechamer, tchumen, these are other mitzvahs that are not about resting on Shabbos. It's just an independent mitzvah. So you're asking a good question. The truth of the matter is, if you really push me, you could probably develop an argument against him in Chas Chinuch. I'm just saying where he's coming from. That Chas Chinuch is assuming that mechamer in and for itself won't save the goy from misa.
So for a goy to be chayav misa, it's not a var keeping Shabbos, it's a var in tishbos.
It's not a, according to Menachas Chinuch, it's not a var in keeping all the mitzvos of the seventh day of the week. It's a var in keeping the mitzvos of resting on Shabbos. He has to not rest on Shabbos. There are two mitzvos of resting on Shabbos. The asay of tishbos, the los asay, los asay, malacha. There are other mitzvos on Shabbos. You know, you have to make kiddush or whatever. Kiddush is also a mitzvah on Shabbos. If a goy doesn't keep that, it's not going to save him from misa. It's not about resting on Shabbos. But a very good question. Yeah, Miles.
Are we able to zoom in on their machlokas and really say that it's really, really, really in Gidre of, it's really in the Gidre of Tishbos?
Tosefus Ben-Yonah?
Yeah.
In what sense? What do you want to get at? Meaning, we made a hakira. We said reinforcing versus complimenting. Are you trying to go deeper than that?
I'm asking that if it's really in what the Gidre of what it applies to.
Listen. Rinyona says it only applies to 39 malachos.
So then Lofi, that can I ask you if there's another nafkamina? Tosin
and Rinyona? There are more nafkaminas, but I don't want to overdo it for the first day. So let's leave it at this. If you want to discuss
it privately.
Fine. So let's call it a day for now. We hit 44 minutes. Pretty good. With some jokes. Let me just quickly chazer. So we have three parts to today's shir. Part one of today's shir, we introduced ourselves to two mitzvahs of Shabbos, the Los Asay and the Asay of Tishbos. Our goal was, what's the scope, what's the parameters of the mitzvah of Tishbos? So we point that out from the Rambam that certainly doing one of the Lam Tes Malachos violates Tishbos. The question is, does it go beyond the Lam Tes Malachos? So we had a Machlokas Tosis versus Rabbeinu Yonah. Tosis says that it goes beyond the Lam Tes Malachos. It even includes being Mechamer. Even though that's not one of the Lam Tes Malachos, it's included in Tishbos. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's limited to Lam Tes Malachos. It doesn't include Mechamer or other types of activities. So that was part one. Basic Machlokas Rishonim, does Tishbos go beyond Lam Tes? Does it not go beyond Lam Tes Malachos? In part two, we gave a Hezber in the Machlokas, just a little bit of an insight. Is it about reinforcing this Malacha like Rabbeinu Yonah? Or is it about complementing this Malacha and filling the gaps like Tosis? In part three, we had two Nafkaminas between Tosis versus Rabbeinu Yonah. Nafkamina number one was the issue of what if you have shofar? What if we change the assay of kibud av versus mechamer? What if it's shofar versus mechamer? So according to Tosfos, it's one versus two. Mechamer is tishbos also. Tishbos goes beyond lamtes malachos. So being mechamer is the los assay and an assay, one versus two, We don't say aseh do chalos aseh. Kibbut Av was a special exception, but shofar, a regular mitzvah, would not override two mitzvahs, whereas according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's one versus one. Tishbos doesn't apply to mechamer. Mechamer is just a los aseh, it's one versus one. We would say aseh do chalos aseh. So that was nafkimi number one. Nafkimi number two was the Menachas Chinas nafkimi. He wants to have this nafkimina where a goy keeps all am tes malachos, but he does mechamer, will he be chayiv misa or not? Where he wants to say that according to Tosfos, since mechamer is violating the aseh of Tishbos, so the goy is in good shape because he kept half of a day of rest, but not the other half. He didn't do the aseh of Tishbos, which is good for the goy. We don't want him doing. We don't want him resting on Shabbos. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Yonah, when this goy is mechamer, so unfortunately he kept a full day of rest. He kept the los aseh of los aseh chumlacha. He kept the mitzvah aseh of Tishbos. And he did a technical issur, which Eli's arguing on a very good argument, but Mechas Chinuch is assuming that that's not going to save the goy, and therefore this goy would be chayv misa. So have a wonderful day. We might be a little early because we cheshbon lunch earlier, but I guess, you know, listen, if we're able to bottle during learning, so I'm sure we can figure out how to bottle after learning also, you know? Okay, shkayach. Yeah.